And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi even thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, we kicked off number two of the Triple Dipper a minute ago. I'm calling it Spend It Like You Got It. Well, they're spending some money down in Montgomery right now. Wow. Wow. So, yeah, I mentioned to you they got a $2.7 billion surplus in the state education budget. They've got a $1.06 billion tranche of money from the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA funds. That's a pandemic relief money that had to be spent. The House of Representatives just blazed its way through approving what basically was the governor's wish list for that $1.06 billion. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen money spent this fast, and it's kind of wild. Well, somebody who's been on the show several times, who was starting to make his name as a fiscal hawk, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, who represents District 7 in the Alabama House of Representatives up here in North Alabama. He is on the line right now. One of the only members of the House, by the way, to have voted against that spending bill. So, without further ado, Representative Yarbrough, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic, sir. I appreciate you having me on. It's a beautiful day. I appreciate you ordering up this good weather for us as well.
I wish I could say I was responsible, but I'm not.
Right. Well, no, it's been great. It's been a great first few, a couple of weeks. You know, obviously, there's a lot to learn, a lot of the process, a little bit of fire hydrant to the face. I had the distinct privilege today of having some young folks with the Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce, where I am the heart of my district. So it's always fun and exciting to get to see folks from your district come in, get to love on them and celebrate them and give a little patriotic speech to young people and get them fired up. So
I agree.
That was super. It's always good to see folks from home in the Capitol.
I agree. And your district up here in North Alabama spans into parts of Lawrence, Colbert, and Morgan County, right?
That is correct. Yeah, we got a little piece of Morgan, all of Lawrence, and about half of Colbert County. In fact, we had one of the, as you know, in your previous experience in Alabama government with meetings and more meetings and breakfast and lunch. And I was laughing with one gentleman earlier, said it feels a little bit like The Hobbit where it's first, second, and third breakfast. But but we had an aviation breakfast. So it was good to learn about the airport. And obviously there's with Muscle Shoals and the regional airport there. And so it is exciting to be involved in things that, you know, you've seen or grown up around that, you know, touches and involves key aspects of your district. That's a very exciting and very much a privilege that I don't take lightly.
Well, and I appreciate your sentiment of that. I agree. I mean, there was one particular day I can remember I was walking with who is now Senate Pro Tem Greg Reed. We were walking in with the Capitol in the distance, mm-hmm. and that kind of caught my attention. And I looked at him and I said, I hope I never get tired of this. I hope I never get used to it.
Right. It's an amazing feeling. And again, when your folks show up from home or you're dealing with things that you know touch directly the people that you love and where you come from, it's a pretty amazing experience.
Well, let me ask you, so these ARPA spending bill, $1.06 billion in extra money from the federal government, you guys are actually in special session right now. That is the sole focus in front of you. And the House pretty much blazed its way through the bill that was proposed for spending all of this by the governor, and you were one of the only members of the House to vote against it. Give us your thoughts and tell us why you voted no.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Well, obviously, I ran on the concept of being a fiscal conservative, and you know all the things that have happened around COVID. I know there's you know strong agreement in the House that there's obviously at this point frustration with you know the inflation and the things that go on with inflation and all that's happened as a fallout from COVID. And you know the reality is, you know, in terms of a discussion of inflation, you know, there's a great quote by Neil Ferguson that said that you know. Inflation actually is not primarily economic, even though it has regrettable economic effects, but it's political because people voted to inject fiat currency, you know, into the system. And behind that, I would say post-COVID, it's because we shut down when we never should have, right? We states and communities, we surrendered our sovereignty, and I hope that's one key lesson we learned from this as we deal with the fallout, in which obviously the ARPA money is part of that. But I just want to go ahead and put a plug in for states and municipalities and communities. Let's never again surrender our sovereignty and shut down, because that led to this whole problem, the artificial interruption of the free market. So But yeah, so the fast track of the bill, you know, was kind of how I felt as a new legislator. I was under the helpful, wrong impression, you know, that there'd be more time to look at the line items and, you know, $100 million for this or, you know, $50 million for that or whatever. Well, like, how did we get to those numbers, you know? And certainly there was efforts made to bring in department heads and say, hey, we need this chunk of money and we're going to do this. But it would have, I wanted more time to delve into what actually created the line items and perhaps was under what you might say the freshman impression, that there would be a little bit more debate and discussion on the line items and how those numbers were arrived at, not from the perspective of at all being trying to be, you know, contentious or anything of that nature. You know, it's kind of the same process that I take when I, as a business owner, when I sit down and I look at my numbers and, you know, and delve into what we're doing and why we're doing it and making sound business fiscal decisions. I was just honestly hoping that there would be more time for that process to
occur.
Okay,
so let me jump in there real quick, though, if you don't mind, though, Representative. So the bottom line is the money had to be spent. It wasn't like we were spending things that
we didn't
have. It had to be spent by law. But your main concern was the rush to passage as opposed to what it was being spent on, I guess.
Well, maybe both, right? I mean, because we had this session and three more before it had to be spent. Obviously, you can't appropriate it and spend it in the very last session, you know. So, but having time to delve into what was chosen, why, and what makes up the actual line items that create those specific dollar amounts might have led to a change of, well, maybe we shouldn't spend it. Maybe we should spend it on this, you know, right? So, but having time to really dig in and find out what created those line items and those numbers.
Yeah.
Certainly leads to the possibility of perhaps spending it on something else.
Let me ask you this: in the process, were amendments even allowed? Was there debate over the potential for amendments? Were they tabled? How did that go?
Well, I mean, I guess nobody really even honestly that I didn't see that even attempted.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was certainly debate, or there was on the floor there was discussion that was opened up for. But it was, you know, as a freshman, everything certainly felt extremely rushed. And part of that issue is that, you know, having time to look into the numbers so that you even know as a freshman, obviously there are other folks in that room who are far more seasoned and have been around. And because of your experience, for example, you're going to know by looking at something, five questions to ask immediately that as a freshman, I'm not going to know to ask yet because I'm still having to, well, hold on, wait, what is that? How does this process work? You know, and so there wasn't time for people in the freshman class to even have the ability to bring amendments because
I think that's accurate. And by the way, the fact that you wanted to ask questions, though, kudos to you for that, because my concern is that there were a number down there who didn't ask questions or even feel inclined to ask questions. It was just simply, oh, the governor wants this. We work for the governor. And that's not true. Y'all are a co-equal branch of government with a right to determine how these monies get spent because the power of the purse is vested in the legislature. I'm a little bit shocked with the pace in which House leadership just thrust this thing through. Let me ask you this. The public did not see the governor's proposed spending until the day of her State of the State address, which was just last week. Did y'all get a chance to have hearings on it? Did you see it in advance? How long have you had a chance to see these numbers?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I will say that it's not as if nobody in leadership didn't you know, say, hey, if you have questions, come ask us, because they did. But the first time I saw the numbers was there were two meetings last week. And so one was on the floor where the information was being read from the floor. And then the next day was a meeting with department heads, you know, where they would say, all right, we're going to do this for broadband, you know, we want to do this for water and so forth. And so last week, to my knowledge, was the first time those numbers were, at least that I saw them. And that's where, again, to my point as a freshman, just the time needed to digest the numbers that are being put in front of us. And how those numbers came to be created. You know, it's not something that you can just, you know, I mean, you know, I run a business. Obviously, it's a lot smaller in scope than the size of the state government. And so, I mean, you can imagine how much time is spent to thoroughly do, you know, dollar questions and so forth, you know, from the from a business perspective. And no doubt there are people, obviously, who were responsible, department heads and so forth, that did that with this allocation of money. It's just obviously we weren't involved in those conversations.
Yeah.
And so until I saw it last week. And so,
well, let me ask you this. It's right now, and we've only got a couple minutes left here, but the bill's going upstairs now. It's going to be going through the same processes, committees and everything else in the Senate. I'm hearing that there's some in the Senate that want to slow this thing down and take more time with it. Are you hearing that?
I've heard that's a possibility, yes. So I don't know the end of what may be from that, but I have heard that. I have read reports on that. And so I guess time will tell as to, you know, what happens with that, you know. But, you know, I just – obviously COVID is an unusual situation. All the things that have arisen from it have been unusual. And I know that going forward, like with the general fund and the education trust fund, I plan to sit on those committee meetings and, you know, soak in all the knowledge, you know. And I love it when processes, you know, when we just have enough time to walk through a process so that we've got time to, you know, all of us have time to vet and understand thoroughly as much as we can, you know, what's being done. Because I was getting questions from back home that I couldn't even answer. And didn't have time to really explore the answers to those questions. And obviously, as a legislator, you know, you don't want to be in that position because you want to be able to serve your people with knowledge.
Well, and I completely agree. So let me just, you know, I would not normally, you know, like try to puff somebody up on the air like this, but let me go ahead and just give you kudos. You and Representative Ben Harrison and Representative Arnold Mooney, you and Harrison are both freshmen. The three people who voted no. I'm not the guy who says you always have to vote no. You can't ever pass a budget. I'm not like that at all. But what I really appreciate
is the fact that
really appreciate here is that too often I have seen people come in with the freshman mentality of if leadership says do it, I must do it because I don't know what the processes are. You chose to say no because they weren't allowing you to follow through on the processes. And so, with that being said, I kudos to you for being willing to stand up when everybody else was sitting down. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I trust as we look forward that we'll have time to walk through these decisions and make them with time and the ability to just make the best choices to make Alabama a better place.
Ernie, appreciate you. State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, House District 7 over there in Lawrence, Colbert, and Morgan County. You keep doing what you're doing, and we'll have you back on sometime soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. And that's true. And as we go to break, let me just say, I get it. I remember coming down there as a freshman senator, and within 2 weeks of getting elected, they called us into special session while Governor Riley was still the governor and to do a special session on ethics reform. It was huge. It was a huge piece of legislation, and it was game changer. Now, granted, I sat in on the meetings, and I was able to be a part of the development of how it came together, and I also ran my campaign on that issue. So luckily, I had a leg up. But I totally agree with what State Representative. Go ahead and move us to the break, Boomer. I totally agree with what State Representative Yarbrough just said. They were not given the opportunity to dialogue, to debate, to put amendments, to question, to make sure they understood the whys of the number and not just what the numbers were. That was $1 billion that ran through the House in 3 days. 3 days! My God. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.